From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
Thursday night, as always, we're excited to be right here in the studio talking to you about the subjects that we talk about week after week, which are always interesting, don't you think, Dr. Angel?
They are always interesting. It's never boring around here, that's for sure, Mama Mac.
It is not boring. Dr. Angel Falzone, my co-host, is so amazing. PhD, licensed mental health counselor. I like to give your credentials on a weekly basis, and there's a reason for that, doctor. Because it reminds me that I should treat you with dignity and respect. Aww. No, that's not the reason. I mean, I know I should do that. That's obvious. No, it is because I want our listeners to know that you have experience. I have experience too, but mine's not with the degrees you have. It's pastoral counseling, et cetera, for years. But you have the degrees and you have the ongoing work experience on a daily basis. And in the field of mental health and interpersonal relationships, I don't know if I've ever met anybody as talented and as able to get to the root of problems with people and quickly and easily understand and relate to them and help them. And you're amazing. And did I say everything you wanted me to say?
I think you read it. I'm just playing. Thank you. No. And I love what we do. And it's a passion. And
it is, isn't it?
Do not underestimate all the experience you have, Mama Mac, because
that is extremely
vital.
It is, yes. But I mean, you know, when it comes to a degree in a certain area, mine's biology and chemistry and Spanish. That's not necessarily, you know, what we talk about here, obviously. But life experience, you're right, has a lot to do with, you know, how we relate here on this show. And, you know, it's just interesting. We're almost 2 years into it. In September, we will be. Our two-year anniversary. And last year, on our first-year anniversary, Bobby, do you know what Angel did on our last-year anniversary?
What did she do?
We were planning this amazing show, and she got stuck behind a wreck on her way from work.
I remember.
Yes, I was late, and I was panicked. It's the only time it's ever happened
in
2 years.
It's never happened, and it happened on our anniversary show. And one of our friends happened to walk in, and I pulled her in, and I said, sit here and talk to me about this.
I remember it all now.
That was last year's anniversary show. So now, this year, it's going to be our second anniversary, so it'll be something special. But every show is dynamic, and every show has an impact on people's lives because our desire is to help people with so much. And we encourage you to contact us. You can email us with your questions and your issues, and that is goyard2014@gmail.com. You can also text us 24/7, 365 at 727-888-4171. Your comment, your questions are valuable. They're important to us, so we want to hear from you. Text number again, 727-888-4171. Doctor, we started something last week, and we're going to maybe complete it tonight. I don't know. We probably will. But you want to talk about this topic and why this is an important topic?
Well, you know, and as most all of our topics do, they come out of the trenches of what we're dealing with people in everyday life, which right. I think is so amazing because it's real. It's right where we're at. And we're talking about last week and this week, we're talking about dealing with defensiveness.
Yes.
Because I think it's one of those things that we all have defensiveness right. in us, and we may not be so aware of it, but it impacts how we deal with every relationship that we have, from a professional work relationship to friends, to our children, to our spouses, to whatever we right. have in our life. And it can get in the way.
Oh, yeah. It can get in the way. It can cause a lot of problems, don't you think?
And so, last week we really wanted to look at what it looks like in us and what it may look like in other people.
Right.
Because sometimes, we're pressing an issue that we're passionate about and the other person is extremely defensive and we're hitting walls and we're frustrated and they're frustrated and we're amplifying conflict.
So with that said, can you kind of define or maybe explain how our listeners would know if they themselves or somebody they're interacting with is being defensive, or if they're just being argumentative or just being controlling or just being mean? Or how do you know the difference?
Well, you always like to ask those questions.
I do.
You do. I love it, though. Defensiveness is coming out of a need to protect something.
Aha. That's very important right there.
It really is. So is this that I'm guarding against, I'm feeling a threat or a criticism? Is this an injury to like my ego? It's a protection of something. Am I a shortcoming?
Right.
Is that being exposed? And so, what's the root of defensiveness? It's always about some kind of fear that's
okay.
inside of us, which makes it powerful.
Right.
Which is why when we experience it or another person, it's a powerful part of this relationship that
right.
we have. And so what's behind some of that fear?
So I like that you brought it down to one word, protecting.
It is about protecting, and because there's some kind of fear going on. One of those fears could just be being wrong.
Right. Some people have a very big fear of being wrong. They always want to be right. Yes.
And so when something's happening in a conversation and that is being challenged, or they feel as if, you think I'm wrong,
right.
you might start seeing some of that defensiveness fly up.
Right.
Another one might be being viewed as incompetent.
Aha. Yeah. Yeah.
And
I
that's
can see
a
how
big
that would
one
be.
That, that's that you don't think I can do what I do, or I don't know what I'm doing, or... And so they're taking everything you've said, once you hit that defensive fear trigger,
right?
They only hear it in their words of what fear is being triggered. So every word you're saying, which may not validate that fear, they're hearing it through their fear.
Okay. So
this is why we have arguments and conflict.
Okay. This is why we have arguments and conflict. So they're hearing it that way. How can you keep it on track, a discussion, so that it doesn't escalate and get out of control? Because it's been my experience in life with defensive people that it goes south real quick sometimes.
It does go south quick. And part of that is, first of all, recognizing what defenses are and what they look
okay.
like. Second of all is dealing with the defense.
Okay.
A lot of times someone's defensive and we're in a conversation or we're having something's going on and we're working through an issue and a defense is triggered. We might even say, oh, yeah, they're getting defensive. It's a word
right.
we use. But we still keep plowing through the issue.
Yeah.
And we need to learn to be able to stop.
Uh-huh.
Let's deal with this defensiveness so that we can kind of defuel this fear that's happening.
I think we kind of brought that up a little bit last week, but let's amplify on that. When you recognize the defense mechanisms and the shield is up and, whatever the case may be, how do you handle it if you're not the defensive person? You're the one trying to have the discussion to get at the root of whatever is going on. Maybe you want to give another example.
Well,
we gave some last week.
We did talk about some last week. And really, one of the things I like to do is once I start seeing, I see defense happening.
Right.
Or I feel the defense is starting to happen, I'm gonna put the brake really quick on whatever issue we're discussing.
But you're an exception to the rule, right?
Well, yes, because I am professional and I am really
trained
in this.
Exactly. So the person that's not, the one that's driving down the road right now, the one that's listening to us in their kitchen, they want to press through to get their point made. They want to, say, quit acting like that and just steamroll the decision. You know what I mean?
And so what I'm going to tell you is, first of all, you don't have to be a professional to do this well.
Ah, oh, that's good.
You just have to be perceptive
right.
and be patient.
Right.
Second of all, practice, practice, practice.
Practice.
I did not wake up one day and have a PhD and can say, oh, I see defensiveness and I can deal with this. I had a practice in my own life.
Sure, sure.
And so the more we practice this, the better we're going to get at this. Now it's second nature to me, but in the beginning, it really wasn't. And I'm Italian, so I'm super expressive. And so I just, when I'm in an idea and I'm passionate, I can go full speed ahead.
There you go.
And so I've had to learn to retrain myself.
Years ago, I was married to a doctor, and he was an emergency room doctor for a while. And I remember, because just straight out of med school and then an internship and then ER doc, I can remember him coming home different times and saying, I didn't know what to do about this. I said, well, what did you do? Well, I went into the office, and I pulled out a medical book, and I sat there and read. Well, what about the patient? Well, I just told him I'd be back in a minute. and really, that is how he learned a lot on the job, by dealing with these emergencies that came in and like, oh, okay, now how should I best treat this when there's nobody there but him to deal with it? You know what I'm saying? No offense to him. He's a good doctor.
No, absolutely. And that's how you learn.
But
you
that's
know, you
but
can't
you're
learn
practicing.
It all in school.
That's
you
right.
have to practice
You have to
it.
Practice.
We all do.
Right.
You know, and so this is what I want to challenge our listeners to do, is that you don't have to be professional to do this well.
Okay.
You just have to be mindful. And that's
mindful
and know what, you know, be mindful, be purposeful,
mindful.
You know, my words.
I do.
So when
like
I'm dealing
words.
With someone who might start acting defensive, maybe they're getting loud, maybe they're shutting off, maybe they're getting emotional, maybe they're trying to plead a case here. Those are some of those defensive things we identified last week.
Right.
So as soon as I see that, I'm going to stop whatever this issue is. I'm going to put this on the side. Doesn't mean we're ignoring it. It just means we're citing it for just a minute. And I might say something like, gosh, I feel like you're defensive, or it feels like you're getting upset. So I might stop and just say, what do you hear me saying?
Okay.
And let them tell me what they're hearing from their perspective. Because a lot of times you're going to get a lot of insight. Maybe they're not hearing what you're really saying.
Exactly.
You're saying, you know, you're doing great, and we just can tweak something, and they're hearing, oh, I'm the most worst person in the world, and you think I'm stupid and I can't do anything.
So are they going to be honest in your experience as a practitioner? Do you see people being honest with, well, this is what I'm feeling, or do they, you know, try to cover up that they're feeling anything? Because it almost feels, with my experience with defensive people, almost feels like when you confront that, they get more angry. They get more and it can actually escalate.
Well, there are people, and you don't have to go, oh, you're defensive. You could just say, I feel like this isn't going right. So what are you hearing? When I'm not asking you what you're feeling. I'm asking you, what did you hear me say?
Okay, so that's the question.
That's different. Somebody may not know what he or she's feeling.
Right.
But we can definitely tell you what I think I'm hearing you say.
Right.
And so what I'm doing is validating you, first of all. I'm giving you the opportunity
yes,
to share
yes,
what
yes.
you're... And it's given me an opportunity to correct the perspective you're taking my information. Maybe I'm just giving it in a way that is being misinterpreted.
Isn't it interesting with human beings that so often what is said is not heard the same way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a common problem. And so, dear listener, if that goes on in your marriage or your work environment or with your kids or wherever, just join the club, because it's really common. In my lifelong experience, it's common that when we say something a certain way, it's not necessarily heard and received the same way we said it.
Well, and here's why. First of all, we take information in through our own experiences.
Okay,
our
yeah.
own insecurities,
True.
Our own histories, our own cultures, our own whatever's inside of us that makes us individually and unique who I am
mm-hmm.
is how I see information.
Sure. Yeah.
So you may be presenting something one way and I'm seeing it a whole different way.
Right.
If we all went and spent the day at Walt Disney World and I said, and we stayed together all day and did everything together and we wrote about our days, we would have two different total accounts, to the point where people may not even believe we stayed together all day.
Yeah. Good point.
Because it's our own personal histories
sure.
and subjectivities is how I take information. So it's really important to get clarity.
Right.
What did you hear me say? At least I can understand what you're hearing, and it gives me an opportunity. It's not I'm not putting you on the spot. It's not making you have to defend anything at this point.
Right.
I'm giving you the power.
And I love that point. That's excellent. This is an excellent way to handle a defensive person. Wait a minute. Let's stop a minute. What did you just hear me say?
Correct.
Right.
Because most of all conflict is misunderstandings.
Right. It is misunderstandings.
So if we can just start heading off a misunderstanding when we start seeing something may not be going the right way, right. Let's stop this issue. We're never going to solve an issue when we're defensive, angry, emotional, shutting down. We're not getting to this issue right now.
Okay, but what about the person, because I've experienced this in life too, okay, who, let's say, is the person who notices, oh, this isn't going well, and the defensiveness, you know, the shackles are up, and it's not good. But what about the person that recognizes that, but steamrolls their, uses that defensiveness as a kind of like an opportunity to just let it all roll out. You know what I mean?
It's a power through.
It's
and
a
that's
power,
a defensive
yes,
technique
a power
and it can happen.
Through thing, yes.
Which is why I need to be able to recognize in my own self when I'm seeing something or when I'm feeling it myself. Maybe I need to take the initiative and say, you know what I just heard you say?
Right. Good point.
Let's bring that conversation up. I have to do that all the time in conversations with coworkers, with my kids, with my relationships. Sometimes I got to stop it and be like, okay, this is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Because I'm not sure because I'm feeling my own feelings starting to get kind of going.
Right.
And I need to stop that myself.
Right.
We can see
excellent
it in someone else.
Advice.
We can learn to stop it in ourselves.
Yes.
And there is no attack in this is what I'm hearing. I'm taking ownership of it. This is the information I'm getting. And it allows for conversation without threat.
So often, though, the person that says, here's what I'm feeling, then is attacked by the other person.
They may feel attacked with that. You know, the I feeling is an ownership and it's a feeling, but we cannot always identify our feelings. Let's just be honest.
That's
when
true.
You're in the middle of, you know, prime example, yesterday I dropped my second child off to college and I couldn't even tell you how I felt. I felt so many different feelings and everyone was like, well, how do you feel about it? I'm like, I don't even know. It's just, I feel mixed.
Right.
I couldn't. It was frustrating not to be able to say, oh, I'm feeling sad or disappointed or excited or proud. I've probably felt all of those in one feeling.
Right.
And so sometimes we're just not good at identifying those.
Right.
And then that's a threat because now I should be telling you what I feel and I don't know how to tell you that. So I'm getting
more
frustrated.
There you go. That's the point I was trying to get at. The person who really just can't articulate it because of the emotions that they're at such a high level or they don't know. They don't know what they're feeling. They just know that
it's not
they're
good.
Reacting.
Right.
And yeah, they're reacting in a defensive posture, but they don't mean to be antagonistic. But
they're protecting.
They're protecting.
And defensive is all about protecting something that I feel is at threat right now.
Exactly.
So we need to diffuse threats.
Right.
And one of the way to do it is open up conversation.
Right. Okay.
And
so, okay, so we open up conversation, dialogue, and we're saying, hey, okay, tell me what did you just hear me say? And that may or may not be heard by that person. If it doesn't seem to be being heard, is there some other, what do you do next?
Well, and that gives you me an opportunity to correct. Maybe the way I'm sending my message isn't working.
So
maybe
text
I need
it
to,
instead, right?
Maybe I know. Maybe I need to reword what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Maybe we need to kind of take it a little slower.
Okay.
Give it a piece of information and let's process that part, and then because sometimes we just throw so much out at somebody that it gets all mixed up in the process.
Right. Too much is said.
Slow it down. It's okay to slow down.
Yeah. And the person who likes to steamroll through their opinions through a situation is going to have to learn some self-control in that regard, right?
Absolutely. And here's the thing is you can help navigate this no matter which end of this you're on.
Okay.
If I'm feeling defensive, I can learn my defensive trigger and slow it down for myself. If I can see your defensiveness, I can help slow this down and bring that conversation that's not threatening in so that maybe we can figure out where we're
slow
going
it
wrong.
Down.
So
slow
either
it
way
down.
That you're on this with dealing with defensiveness, you can take some power.
Okay.
And try to work through it. Now, some people just they're not ready. And when they hit defensiveness, they may just shut down and just disengage altogether.
And disappear.
Go
I've
for
known a lot
walk
of people
for
like that.
10 miles and you don't see them for, you know, until the next morning. Okay. So give them that space. And then when we come back, you know what? I really think we need to talk about this. So when would be good for you? And set that time. And so prepare them so we're not blindsiding them. And let's sit down and take that.
Right.
And maybe we need to set a little ground rule that we're going to try and talk about this without disappearing. We're going to try and stay in this for a few minutes. And so,
right.
And when you're feeling frustrated, tell me so
right.
we can talk.
Right.
And, you know, give them that freedom.
And what you're describing is adult behavior. You're describing maturity. This is the way we should handle conflict and problems. But I would imagine that some of our audience are going, but you don't know my wife, or you don't know my husband, or you don't know my mother, or, you know.
But it always takes two to have this conflict.
Good point. Good point.
And so what I feed grows, what I starve dies.
Right.
And so if I know miscommunication is really the heart of most conflicts I'm dealing with.
Right.
I can slow it down.
Right.
Can I change the reactiveness? No, I can't. But I can change that. I'm not going to engage in continuing with an issue while we're reactive and emotional.
Right.
And this can work for children. I mean, my littlest is OCD, and he is so reactive with OCD. It's just all about fear and anxiety. OCD right. is really based in that. And it used to be, as soon as he felt any bit of threat, I mean, you could say something like, oh, your clothes don't match, and he just took it like he was the worst person in the world, and
right.
life was over, and it would flip, and totally learned self-control. But we stopped. What did you hear us say? We processed it.
Right.
We, you know, and now it's not a trigger for him, but it's taken practice
time.
To do it. So
right.
we can even do this with our kids.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good place to start teaching them to
so, yeah, I
recognize defensiveness, don't you think?
Absolutely. And so if you're in this relationship that there's just no conversation happening outside of defensiveness, well, then that might be the time to start getting a third person intervention,
sure.
getting professional help.
Yeah, and that's very true, very true, because sometimes people are in a mess and they can't seem to get out of that mess, but go ahead.
Well, and it's hard to practice something while you're learning it
mm-hmm.
in the moment, because we're not going to be perfect at it, and set yourself free. You're not going to, I'm not perfect, and there's times I forget my own stuff, and, you know, it gets out of hand, and then I just know, I got to stop,
yeah.
come back and do this
right.
a different way, a different time.
Okay,
so it's okay.
You mentioned fear being at the root of a lot of defensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend to our listeners that when they're engaged in a conversation, that now defensiveness has raised its ugly head, whether it's in, you know, the person that initiated the conversation, or it's in the person reacting, or whatever? Is it good to say, okay, let's see if we can explore the fear behind whatever? I mean, do we ever use that word fear when we try to work through a defensive situation?
It depends on your relationship. It's going to depend on the other person. Some people may not recognize it's a fear.
Right. Yeah.
And so if I don't really realize I'm acting this way because I'm afraid of something, then we
right.
can't talk about fear, because now you're going to make me more defensive.
Yeah.
Because now you're telling me I'm a coward too, or
right.
you know,
yeah.
whatever. And so it's really going to depend on that relationship and that person's own insight to him or herself.
Right.
You know, I can discuss it based on my fear, but that's taken time and insight and, you know, getting that way. People in the beginning will not. You
they
may
won't
not
be
know
able to.
Really what you're afraid of when
no,
you're defensive.
You may not. No.
You may not even get it. You just know, I got to come fighting because I'm feeling attacked.
Right. Right. Okay, so if you're one of those that frequently gets involved in a conversation where you realize you're the one that your defense mechanisms are going up, and you're saying things that you later regret, you're behaving in a way that you're not proud of, any points or pointers for those people that are the ones that are doing the defense mechanisms? We kind of have been talking more about how to handle it when it comes at you,
mm-hmm.
right? How about you're the one that you know, you recognize what we're talking about right now, and you recognize, you know what, I do that. Recommendations
well,
for those people.
You know, when our homework assignment last week
yes.
was looking at ourselves.
Look at ourselves.
Know, what does it look like when I get defensive?
Right.
First of all, what am I doing?
Right.
You know, we can pretty much recognize that quickly.
Okay.
What is it? What do I do? Most people, if I talk to them in conversation, they know exactly what they do. They'll be like, oh yeah, I just start crying or freaking out, or I just
yeah.
shut down, or I just, you know, I get argumentative because I'm going to get this point and I'm going to, you know, have the last word.
Do people recognize the
oh,
stuff
totally
they do?
Totally they do. Oh, and it's almost comical when we were talking about it in therapy. I just did a group work with a group of professionals, and, you know, everyone, and they weren't mental health professionals, they're just business professionals. Every one of them were like, yep, this is what I do when I get defensive. You know, a lot of people
oh, cool.
are able to
cool.
really, once we talk about what it could look like, most people are like, yep, they start seeing themselves.
Wow.
And, you know, here's a cool, interesting thing we talked about was we may be defensive in a different way depending on the relationship.
Yeah, probably.
So in a relationship that maybe my spouse or maybe my boyfriend or girlfriend, I might become more emotional.
Right.
Or when I'm feeling defensive at work, I might just, you know, shut down.
Right.
Depends on the environment, the relationship, that quality of relationship.
Exactly.
What vulnerability of that defensiveness we let come out.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting that people, of course, you know, things like this are more commonly talked about now, I suppose, than in years past. I mean, it seems like a lot of people have more access to Dr. Phil and people like that. All that stuff, don't you think? There's more openness about...
I think there is. I think we're breaking things down a little bit more different. And,
yes.
You know, we all get defensive. Every human gets defensive.
Sure.
All of us will have a point where we feel like there's something we need to protect.
Right.
And so it's part of the human experience. So there's no shame. There's no blame. There's no, does this make me, you know, mental or whatever? No, it makes you normal.
Yeah.
So once we can take off that stigma to this.
Right.
It's easier to be like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I do, Dr. Angel. I'm just going to shut down, or I'm just going to keep talking and talking and talking because I'm hoping my point is going to get across.
Right.
And we can even laugh about it, recognize it. And then, okay, now we know what you do. Now we need to know what happens to make you do that. So where are your triggers?
Right. What are your triggers? So that's what you talk about.
That's exactly. And once we can identify triggers, we can identify the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm triggered when you're making it like, I don't do a good job. Oh, well, my fear is I'm incompetent.
Right. Okay.
So what's your trigger? Because your fear is under that trigger.
Right.
And so just looking at it and acknowledging, yep, that's exactly what I do. Okay, we got it. Now, when do I do it? You might not know off the gate when you do it. You might have to start feeling it. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting shutting down. What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling.
What you're talking about is being more mindful.
Mindful.
You know, there your word again comes out. But being more aware. If you want to improve our interactions with others, there's got to be a elevated mindfulness, I think. Don't you think?
It just, always.
You know, otherwise you're just going to go through life doing the same thing over and over again, which of course is the definition of insanity, going around the same mountain over and over again, expecting different results.
So reactiveness and impulsivity are not our friends in any relationship.
I'll say that one more time.
Reactiveness and impulsivity are not our friends. And so when we're living and acting these way, most of the time, we're not happy. We're not in healthy relationships. We're frustrated.
Because we're just reacting.
And it's impulsive, and there's no thought, there's no purpose, there's no mindfulness, there's no insight. And part of the human condition is to continue growing, and to grow, we need to step back and start looking.
Yeah. You know, in stores, they call those items impulse items.
Oh, yeah. They're all
by the checkout line, you know, and it's that way in a lot of stores, you know. Pharmaceutical stores, grocery stores, whatever. There's all these things that you ordinarily wouldn't go in and buy, but you see it sitting there, or a magazine. That's where they put the magazines, you know, because you wouldn't be going to the store. I'm going to the store to buy 5 magazines, you know?
Yeah, no, we don't do that.
We don't do that normally. And so those impulse items are there, and you react to them, right? Human nature reacts. Oh.
And that may hurt our budget and our financial stability.
And, right. Yes.
And our culture is almost built around us being reactive and impulsive. Commercialism is all about reaction and impulsivity.
Hold that thought, because we're going to break and we're going to come back and talk more about this. And if you have a question or comment, you can text us at 727-888-4171 and or email us at goyard2014@gmail.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Such a little hill. Here I go, mixing mortar for another wall to build. There's a struggle in this life we lead. It's partly you, it's partly me. But every road that's traveled teaches something new. And every road that's
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
To hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only one who spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it.
Alrighty then. Great music. Love it. Okay, Dr. Angel, we were just talking about impulsivity. Let's make it the right word.
Ooh, I like it.
Impulsivity. And we likened it to grocery shopping or shopping where you see all those things lined up right by the cash register, hoping that we will, on impulse, buy the $8 magazine or the, you know, $15.
Or the extra candy or the gum or
the $15 candy bar or whatever it might be. Yes.
And it is. Our culture is built around us not being able to control our impulsive drives. That's what drives the commercial industry of products that we buy and things that we do. And so when we bring that into, it may hurt our finances, our budget, you know, it can hurt us in those ways. But when we're using it in our emotional relationship, it's hurting the quality of our life.
Oh, absolutely.
All over the place. So
yeah.
What separates us from the animals is that we don't have to be impulsive and reactive.
Right.
We have higher order thinking. We can plan.
Yes.
We can have purpose.
Right.
And so those are the things that help us.
Higher order thinking.
We do. And so, you know what they tell, you know, I took a financial class, and one of the things they tell you is when you go in the store, you know, make your list and stick to your list.
Right.
That way it'll help you not get those impulsive buys that are going to throw your budget a walk.
Right.
Well, this is what I'm telling you to do with your relationship when we have some defensiveness. We can't act impulsive and reactive and think this is going to be okay in all of our relationships.
But what if you feel it? Let's say you're the person who gets defensive and you feel it bubbling up on the inside of you when this discussion starts, and you feel like a gentle roar is beginning to happen on the inside of you, and you just want to react and you just want to give them a piece of your mind. And, you know, if you react in anger, or you just want to run. Just leave.
And that's
get
the moment.
Get in the car and go.
Okay, so those are the moments. I need to make a plan for success in those moments. It's not going to happen in the moment. So if you go in and you don't have a plan and you deal with defensiveness and you're shutting down or you're getting angry or you're getting emotional, you are not going to be able to handle it in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that plan coming in.
Exactly.
So what is that plan? All right, as soon as I feel that triggered, maybe I need to just shut my eyes, take a couple breaths, and ask that question or tell them, this is what I'm hearing. And take it to a different level.
There you go.
Maybe you need a couple minute break from the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody, we might have a different way. In the beginning, you might want to start taking breaks. And as you get that down, maybe you might want to add the conversational piece in that we can kind of help work through this. You're not going to go from I'm reactive and impulsive and I'm, you know, emotional or I'm withdrawing to I got this perfect the next time this happens.
Right.
Not happening.
Right.
Make a plan.
Right.
As soon as you feel that, you feel it.
Make a plan. You're talking about being purposeful.
We are, because the impulsivity is really killing our relationships and the quality of them. And we can change that.
the person out there who is normally reacts, is reactive and in a defensive way, either by running or by getting angry or by shutting down or getting loud or just, you know, giving that other person a piece of their mind. Okay, that person has got to learn to take ownership, don't they, of that behavior. That's what I hear you saying.
We do. And here's the thing. Impulsivity and reaction should be left to when real danger is. That's why we have that in us, is to save us from real danger. Real danger, dangerous situations, right. Tornadoes, fires, somebody coming at you that could attack you. That's why we have that system
fight
in our body.
Flight.
That's the whole alarm system. Mm-hmm. That's when we act reactive and impulsive, because we're saving our life.
Right.
The problem is we're hitting that system of our brain. I'm going a little nerdy on you. We're going to hit that system of the brain.
No, it's good. This is good.
We feel like you're questioning my ability to do my job or my parenting choice. And then we're hitting that alarm system that tells us our body that our life is in danger. So what happens when we hit that is we're losing brain, our blood flow to our reasoning part of our logical part of our brain.
Sure.
And so we are only acting in that
save myself
kind of part.
Yes.
That's not productive.
Right.
It's releasing way too much stress hormones into our body.
Right.
So we're causing health issues when we continually let that part of our brain stay activated too long. And so we need to learn when we're dealing with it. When I'm in a conversation, my life is not in danger.
Right.
I need to learn to deactivate. And that one of the ways we're going to do it is being purposeful.
Right.
Calming yourself down. Maybe some deep breathing. Maybe just close our mind and take it in a different way. If we start doing, then we're staying in our logic part of our brain.
There you go.
And we can resolve this.
Right.
But once I let it fly to my amygdala, which is that whole emergency system, logic and reasoning's gone.
Yeah.
No productivity is happening.
It just takes a back seat to the reacting.
And you know how many relationships work in that system of the brain all the time? Many.
Many.
And they're not successful.
Okay, explain that. How do you know that relationships are working in that part of the brain? How does our audience know that?
That we're in our emergency, because you're going to see it's high emotion, thought, very reactive, very impulsive. It's, you know, that dangerous alarm system of our brain. It's quick. It's, you know, those quick jolts in to like save ourselves emotionally or verbally from whatever's happening.
Okay. All right. So the listener who goes, wait a minute, you're describing me and I'm uncomfortable. And the good thing about being uncomfortable is that that means that there's going to be some change, more than likely, if we're going to look at ourselves honestly. And can a lot of people look at themselves honestly, Dr. Angel?
Can we, or do we want to? Those are two different things.
Okay, let's start with do we want to.
Okay, we can. Do we want to?
We just answered that.
Yeah, we can all do it. Do we want to? Yeah, not usually.
Not usually.
Why? Sometimes it triggers that own fear that we may be trying to save ourselves from, that I have a shortcoming or I'm inadequate or maybe I'm not as competent as I think I am.
Right.
And we don't want that message. We're protecting that ourselves from that message.
Right.
And so we don't want to look at ourselves. Sometimes it's easier just to say, oh, it's all their fault and I don't know why this happened.
Oh, listen, it's been my experience through life that that is a common reaction, and that people, when they're defensive, they point the finger at someone else.
Absolutely, because now it's your job to fix it. I take off. I have no responsibility, and now I'm the victim, and we all have power over ourselves.
Okay, talk to us about the victim mentality, because I think that's where a lot of people go to that. Sometimes they do the other things we're talking about, become very argumentative, become loud, isolate, run away, hide, stay gone for days. All those things are definite defense mechanisms. Mm-hmm. But talk to me about this one.
Well, and the victim mentality is just, it's the way that keeps us from really looking at ourselves.
Okay.
Because I'm projecting whatever, all the responsibility for this problem on somebody else.
Right.
Which makes it their dealing, not mine.
Right.
So I don't have the power to fix it.
Right.
I don't have the power to change it. And I don't have that desire to look at myself.
Do you see that a lot?
I see that all the time.
Okay.
Probably the number one reason that brings people into therapy is that it's everyone else's fault. Okay. And things may be someone else's fault, but I still have some power in here somewhere.
Exactly.
I can choose to engage. I can choose to stay in this relationship. I have choices and I have power no matter what is really going on.
So use your words, which you usually say about little kids, right? Do you want to explain that concept, use your words?
You know what? Grown-ups really don't do it well either.
They don't. No, they don't. So it doesn't just apply to kids.
It does not. You know, when we're talking about kids, you know, all of a sudden you'll see the five-year-old and it's the end of the day and they just start crying
or tantruming
or melting down because they want something, but we have no idea what's going on. So our comment is, you know, use your words. What? How can I help you? What do you need? Because I can't read your mind. Same thing with adults. It's a problem. It's really, when you look at them and say, can you use your words? They look at you like you're like got 16 heads and three of them are green.
Right.
But I can't read your mind. We can't expect people to read our minds. We do.
But the victim mentality, correct me if I'm wrong, loves this kind of interaction because it makes them feel sorry for themselves. They don't want to use their words because they want you to pay attention to them.
Well, you should just know.
That's right. You should just know. Do you really love me? You should know.
You should just know.
Right.
No. Nobody's mind reading here.
Right. But so, do you agree with me,
doctor? I agree with you. It keeps the victim mentality. It feeds it.
It feeds it and it makes it bigger. I mean, it really, that's what that means. Mm-hmm. Feeds it, makes it bigger.
It does.
Yeah, but it does because they get on this bandwagon and it's like, you know, I'm not going to tell you. They're going to pout, you know. I just really don't like pouting.
Oh, I hear you.
I don't even like it in my little great-grandkids, you know, we're teaching them not to do that and not just to retreat and pout and whatever. And because that's attention getting and it's not productive. It's not productive and you don't want to learn that.
So when we have a need, when we have a want, we need to be able to put words in this.
Put words. Put your words. Use your words.
I need you to help me with the kids. I need you. You know, they may do it. They may not. But we can't expect them just to know because we're here and you should know.
Okay. But what about the spouse who when you say, I need you to go give this one a bath, or I need you to put them in bed tonight. I'm exhausted, or I need you to whatever. And they look at you like, again, like you said a minute ago, like you have 15 heads. I mean, they look at you weird and like that. What they're really saying without saying anything is no.
And that may happen. So then maybe this is a conversation we need to make a little appointment for and talk about this issue in a way that we can come to some kind of resolution where I'm telling you what I need. And you might not have time or availability or understand. So maybe we need to talk about it and make some kind of plan.
You know what? You just keep coming back to communication.
It is all about it.
And it is all about communication. And dear listeners, wherever you are in your life and with whatever situations you're in, you can't get around the need for true, honest, gut-level communication, even if it hurts. You know, even if it's not a topic you don't want to talk about. Maybe it's a topic you don't want to talk about. You want it to go away and you want her to start acting the way she should act. And you want him to be the responsible parent and partner in this marriage. And you want your kids to see that they should, you know, do the right thing. Communication.
But we don't know what that is until we start communicating. You know, I hear this in parenting a lot. Most parents will say, my kids should just have respect or they should just be good. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah. And what is good anyway?
What is that? What is good? That is so freaking subjective. What is good?
Right.
And so we have to sit down. Let's define this in your terms. And that's what I'm telling our audience to do. We can't communicate that way. We need to be able to make sure we're communicating on the same level.
Right.
And, you know, you may think it's common sense, but it may not be. You know, and I don't know if I've told this silly story before, but
doesn't matter. Say it
again. My little guy, who was little, about 5 or 6 years old, he came to me and he asked me if he could have the candlesticks in my bathroom. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever, because he was playing something. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have candlesticks in the bathroom. They're in the closet. What is he talking about? So I call him in. I'm like, baby, what's this candlestick? He goes, Mom, the box of candlesticks. And I had emergency candles, so I'm thinking, bring me those candlesticks. Well, they happen to be tampons. So I learned very quickly on a candlestick, maybe a tampon. We weren't having the same conversation. And that's true in life. And that was a principle, like, it's been impactful for me. I know it's hilarious, but it's true. And so what I might be talking about may be something totally different than what you're getting.
That's a great example.
So when a candlestick could be a tampon, I've learned to step it back and get some clarification.
Okay. All right. So, again, it takes pressing into that situation. Doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
And if the relationship is valuable with you, for you, you want to learn to press in. I mean, if you hadn't done that, you would have had tampons all over your living room.
I would have.
Yeah.
And he would have thought they were candlesticks.
Right. Right. So, I mean, seriously, it takes pushing into a situation, doesn't it?
It does. And it takes putting time, focus, attention. It's purposeful.
Yeah.
You know, we live in this fast-paced life where we're just going, and we just don't, you just need to know, you just need to do it. We don't have time. We need to take the time.
Where does the whole concept of empathy come in to a defensive conversation?
Well, empathy is really important. It's one of the keys.
You want to define empathy, because I know what it means and you know what it means, but some people may not know what it means.
Well, and empathy is being able to kind of see and feel something from someone else's perspective.
Okay.
And so when we're talking about defensives, I'm feeling defensive because I'm feeling attacked. I have fear. Something's going on that's triggered. So when I can stop and try to understand it from your perspective,
right,
I'm deactivating your fear. I'm deactivating that defensiveness.
Right.
Because now I'm not attacking you anymore. Now I'm trying to understand you. And so empathy is really a key of working through defensiveness.
Absolutely.
So we need to stop and hear it from their perspective, which is those lines of, what did you hear me say?
Right.
Those are some
like
of those
that.
Empathetic words.
I like that.
But it's really the key.
Okay.
Flexibility is super important when we're trying to work through defensiveness. Because we get rigid when we, that's one, it's a very defensive technique that we start, you know, black and white, rigidity starts coming out. It's this way or no way, my way or the highway kind of thing.
And so many people are programmed that way.
We are, because it's safe.
Yeah, that's why.
It's safe, and it's about protection. And so,
and because we think we already have it figured out, and we think our answer or our way of doing it or thinking about it is the best way.
It is. And so one of the phrases we've learned in our house is that it's not wrong, it's different. And so there may be great areas and different ways of doing things. There's not one or two ways of accomplishing stuff. So it's not wrong. It's different.
Yeah.
And it's okay that it's different.
Absolutely.
And so allowing some of that flexibility in will help with defensiveness.
Yeah. It's very difficult working with people or trying to communicate in a relationship if there's no flexibility.
No, it doesn't work.
Right.
It does not work. Happy.
You can come to a real standstill in a relationship with that lack of flexibility.
And flexibility is important because flexibility is talking about empathy and understanding and different perspectives. And, and so it's taking down that wall of feeling attacked.
Right.
We want to deactivate fear.
Right. Deactivate that feeling that I'm being attacked, right?
Absolutely. Okay. So we want to be empathetic. We want to be flexible. We want to be open. We want to be able to listen to someone else's ideas, and that's in that flexibility. But, you know, we want to try to hear their point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Not always easy.
No. And not sometimes it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
But that's,
and what if you totally disagree with their opinion? And there's a way of reacting that doesn't put people, you know, on
the
spot.
Well, and it's not reacting, it's responding.
Ah, very good. I like that. Thank you. That's good. Responding versus reacting.
And we want to respond. And you know what? Recognizing that differences exist. They're okay.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree at the end on this issue.
Right.
It's okay to have different thoughts. And does it make you wrong or me wrong or you right or me right? That's what makes us human.
Yes.
And so sometimes just getting to the point that it's okay to have a different view on this.
Right.
And letting it go at that.
And letting it go. But some people can't let it go, which we've talked about. But
they struggle with that. We want to reduce the anger. We want to reduce the blame.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be holding grudges.
Right.
Learning the truth. That's what we need to learn. There really are two sides to every story.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to hear someone talk who was a pastor of a church, and he used to say, oh, I hate marriage counseling because someone's always a liar. Why do you say that? Well, they give me two different stories. there's two different perspectives.
Right.
That doesn't mean someone's lying.
That's ignorance on his part, because you're exactly right. People do see things differently. They can look at the same scene and see it differently.
And so that takes away some of that anger and that blame when I can say, you know what? You know, your day at Disney World was a little different than mine, even though we were, you know, tied hand to hand all day. And that's cool.
Yeah.
That we had different experiences.
Right.
And that
absolutely.
Same experience. So there are two sides.
Right.
Sometimes three.
Right.
We want to reduce the emotional. We don't want to be reactive. We don't want to be impulsive. We want to be responding. We want to consider. We want to think and feel at the same time, not just feel.
Very, very important. And you said earlier in the show, and probably last week too, that when we respond in a slower manner, even wait a couple minutes before you respond, instead of react, of course.
Slow it down.
Slow it down.
Slow it down.
How does that work in technique? I mean, with your practical experience with people. Do they put that into practice?
Well, you know, sometimes we have to model it in therapy. Sometimes we step it in therapy.
Yeah.
Because we do. Because we're not used to slowing things down.
We're
in a fast-paced world.
We're in a culture now where everything moves quick.
And so, you know what? When you learn to walk, or when you've learned to ride a bike, you didn't just stand up on your feet and go run.
Right.
It was you stepped on your toes and held the table, and then maybe you tried to step and plop down. And
right.
You know, that is what this is all about.
Right.
It's stepping.
Steps, yeah.
And it's okay to do that. We need to do that.
So we got to recognize the problem. We've talked about it last week and this week. If you missed last week's show, go to tantalk1340.com and go to the podcast. You'll go to our show, Go Yard. At the end of every month, our shows are put on our website, which is goyard2014.org, so you can catch shows you missed. But if you're listening tonight and you missed last week, try your best to listen and catch up, because there's a lot here. Final words.
I'm just going to encourage us to slow it down, to think and feel at the same time. Be patient. Give this a try. Your relationships will be better.
Wow. Dr. Angel, words of wisdom from our Dr. Angel Falzone tonight on Go Yard. Catch us next week for a whole new topic. And this has been Mama Mac and
Dr. Angel.
Yeah, bringing you some great wise stuff tonight. Have a great week. See you next week.
Good night.
Have you ever had the desire to do something adventurous, exciting, fun, delicious, or suspicious, and don't know why or when it hit you? Well, now you'll know. 441-3311. Yes, you'll hear it right here on your own local radio station. You can shout your message to the world. Get people to come to your business, enjoy your services or goods, and the good news is, it's affordable. Call 441-3311. That's 727-441-3311. And, oh, by the way, my name is Lola.